Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, MyLowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to MyLowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about some breaking new features that OpenAI has added to ChatGPT. In addition, we're going to be talking about just how much money Microsoft has made from this OpenAI investment they've made. And we're also going to be talking about something that might get OpenAI into a little bit of hot water, training off of a data set they may not be allowed to train off of. So without further ado, let's jump into the podcast. The first story I want to talk about today is the fact that OpenAI launched a number of new features for ChatGPT. And in a previous podcast, I talked about some new coming soon features that some people had been able to kind of reverse engineer from looking at some code. But this is not those features. This is something actually completely new. So OpenAI actually announced several different updates to the GPT 3.5 Turbo and GPT-4 models. And essentially, they're looking to increase, their functionality and their usability for developers. So I would say one of the most significant updates is the introduction of a function calling capability in the chat completion API. So essentially, this feature is going to allow developers to describe programming functions, and then the model is going to generate code to execute those functions, which is very, very interesting. Now, a lot of people debated on why this wasn't done sooner. I think security is a big, issue when you actually look at having, something like this AI execute functions within the code. A lot of people talk about, for security, if you're able to put code into something like a chatbot and have it execute that code, it technically, like hackers and other people can try to use that to inject code into OpenAI and ChatGPT's servers or databases or other areas and wreak havoc. So that is one area that is a little tricky that they definitely had to overcome. But overall, the ability to be able to do that is a really powerful tool. And so I think this is something that developers are going to absolutely love. The next thing that a lot of people have been hyping up is, or a lot of people have been really excited about, is that in GPT 3.5 Turbo, so this is, what everyone essentially gets, they are going to have a 16,000 token context window. So what this means is that they are going to be able to take around 4 times longer of text as an input into ChatGPT to be able to, give you a response. And the, just for like context on how much 14,000 tokens is, right? Because it isn't even words, it's just like parts of words. The way they break it up is kind of weird, but this is approximately equal to 20 pages of text. And that's in like a single request that, like someone's API could send a single request to chat to OpenAI of 20 pages long. And yeah, like I said before, it's about 4 times longer than the original 4,000 token context window they had before. And so this is going to allow for some very long prompts and prompt response exchanges within ChatGPT. People are really excited about this. Now, one reason why a lot of people are thinking that they have done this is the fact that Anthropic's Claude AI chatbot has been getting a lot of attention recently for the ability to upload massive amounts of text to this. I think you can upload a, I've seen some demos where people uploaded PDF documents to Claude that were like, you know, that were like 300 pages long or like an entire book essentially. And it was able to, in a couple seconds, read the whole thing and get an answer to a question out of that. So I think OpenAI obviously is at a much larger scale than Anthropic's Claude. I believe the only way currently for consumers to use Anthropic's Claude is through Po.com, which is created by Quora. And I think that's the only consumer use case of it right now. And so obviously this is, you know, something very small. It's not available to the mass public. So they have the ability to do some of these, you know, crazier stunts or whatever you want to call it, where they're essentially allowing much larger things, where if they were actually to scale that to the user base that OpenAI and ChatGPT has, it would be pretty brutal on the servers, which, as you know, as Sam Altman recently said before Congress, they're already struggling to have enough, you know, capacity and GPUs and everything else that they need. So I don't believe that ChatGPT would necessarily be able to do something like an entire book. But 20 pages already, that's pretty incredible. So this is a pretty massive update that's going to be integrated. OpenAI has also made some pretty big cost reductions for their platforms. So the pretty popular text embedding tool they have called Ada 2, and that model, essentially it translates text into numeric formats that are more understandable by machines. So that is now coming at a 75% lower price. They're cutting the price 75% on that. And in addition, GPT 3.5 is now going to be about 25% cheaper. And that includes API use. So that's going to be pretty exciting. And some of these are going into effect right now, but I think most of these features are going to be available by June 27th. So you may have to wait a little bit before you can start uploading 20-page text documents to ChatGPT. But overall, this is a pretty massive update that ChatGPT has announced, and we're pretty excited to see where this goes. The other story I wanted to talk about today is the fact that Microsoft's chief financial officer recently said, so everyone knows that Microsoft invested originally $1 billion, and they followed that up with another $10 billion. So they're all in at $11 billion on OpenAI right now. And a lot of people are saying, you know, that's expensive. Is OpenAI going to be able to make the money back? This is kind of before ChatGPT really exploded to quite the level it's at now. I think now people are confident, you know, OpenAI is going to reach some pretty impressive numbers on users and growth and revenue. But in any case, the CFO of Microsoft recently said that AI products will add $10 billion in revenue. And so she told investors that, and she included, you know, OpenAI contributed at least $10 billion to the company's revenue, she said. She didn't specify the time period over which that happened, but Microsoft generated around $198 billion in revenue last year. And the next generation AI business will be the fastest growing. So what she said is the next generation AI business will be the fastest growing 10 billion business in our history, she said. So while Microsoft currently is really benefiting from all of these new AI features, they aren't free. And that's why they're able to, you know, make money off of them. The company so far has invested into ChatGPT pretty heavily. And they've done that in a couple different ways. Number one is with cash. And number two is with cloud credit. So they've actually given OpenAI a lot of cloud credits for their Microsoft Azure cloud computing platform, which has helped OpenAI really train their models well. And in addition to this, Microsoft actually spent $1.2 billion to build a supercomputer that runs OpenAI's models. So that's something not a lot of people know, but they've helped in a lot of different ways. They've been a very strategic partner. And so essentially Microsoft stands to get a significant chunk of the profits from, OpenAI that has been integrated into its own business. So all of the different ways that OpenAI has automated things within Microsoft and all the cost savings just from their own company, is definitely another area that you want to take into account. So I think since February, Microsoft has added new features powered by OpenAI to most all of its software. You know, you've seen in PowerPoint and Excel and Word and everything else. And also that includes the, you know, the chatbot they added to Bing search. So there has been a lot that has been added there. And they've also integrated it into Office 360 and their workspace software. So Microsoft, I think one of the main ways that they're making this $10 billion back is that they're charging a pretty significant premium to customers of their AI-powered Office 360 features. And so they also, in addition to that, have the ability to resell OpenAI software to customers on Microsoft Azure Cloud Platform. So I've talked to companies that are actually doing this right now, where essentially they're able to run their own instance of ChatGPT on Microsoft Azure, where it keeps all of their company's data private and on their own server, and they're not worried about it ever being used to train the OpenAI model. And so, you know, that kind of gets over the issues that people like Chase Bank and some others had, you know, Sony as well, that banned ChatGPT because they're worried about, you know, private company data getting leaked through that. So this is pretty impressive. Microsoft is definitely making a lot of money from this. And I think that, you know, that $10 billion investment into OpenAI was definitely a big win for the company. It's going to help them to really invest in growth and everything they're doing to push the entire industry of AI forward. And potentially for any lawsuits they may face, I recently saw an article on The Information, which was talking about the fact that like essentially Google last month, when they upgraded their Bard chatbot, they added a new kind of machine learning model that can better understand conversational language. And the idea is that it can compete with ChatGPT. And in addition to that, they said, you know, one of their biggest competitive advantages that they have, YouTube. So YouTube is the single biggest and, you know, arguably the richest source of imagery, audio, and text transcripts on the internet. And Google researchers have been using it to develop really their next language model, Gemini. So according to a person that has a little bit of info on what's happening there, the value of YouTube has not been lost on OpenAI either, because apparently the startup has secretly used data from YouTube to train some of their own AI models. And so I think this is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. If that leak gets them in trouble, if YouTube or Google try to sue, if that's against their terms of service, and kind of what happens there, right? We know that OpenAI is, you know, trained on a vast number or a vast data set of the internet. But for the most part, you know, they were able to get licenses and access, you know, YouTube gave them access to their API and Reddit gave them access to their API. And now that all of these companies are seeing how valuable their data is, you know, they're shutting it off. You see this massive, you know, uprising on Reddit now that their API is getting, the price of it is getting, you know, massively increased. And, you know, Elon Musk shut off OpenAI's access to Twitter's data and their API. So it's going to be really interesting to see if OpenAI gets in trouble from YouTube for training based off of that data set as well. And this is an area we'll definitely have to continue watching into the future.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.